ever since 1955, the gap-toothed grin of cartoon character Alfred E. Newman has graced the cover of Mad Magazine, usually with the caption, "What? Me worry?" Some of you might remember that. A little closer to the present, in the 1980s, Bobby McFerrin scored a number one hit with his single, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." And that little tune would often be played through the airwaves. Oh, if it were that simple. But the truth is, most of us, even as Christians, fall victim to worry. Christian counselor June Hunt writes, "One of the most destructive habits ensnaring human beings is also so common that many consider it as natural as breathing and as harmless as blinking. That habit is called worry. It is such a skilled and deceptive thief that its victims don't even know they've been robbed. They've been robbed of peace, of time, of mental energy, and of emotional well-being." In our series entitled Stress Fractures, worry seems to be a logical place to start. Many even equate worry with stress. Now, there's a lot of things that stress us, a lot of other emotions and things that we're going to consider in this series, but certainly worry is at the top of the list. There's some words that we associate with worry, such as anxiety and fear, and we're going to take a look at those today. There is some similarity, there's also some differences, but they are closely related. And I think worry is one of the chief causes of stress in our society. This morning, I'd like to consider the symptoms of worry, a diagnosis of worry, and then, most importantly, a biblical prescription. What can we do to overcome worry in our lives? I do believe it can be done. And in fact, I'm going to go one step further and say, I believe it must be done if we want to live healthy Christian lives. So what are the symptoms of worry? See if any of these physical conditions apply to you. Do you have difficulty sleeping? Do you have trouble falling asleep? Do you have trouble staying asleep? Are you losing your appetite? Or are you overeating? Worry can affect you either way. Sometimes I wish I would lose my appetite. That hasn't worked. But I would not suggest to worry in order to do that. Are you experiencing frequent headaches? These are what would be called tension headaches. Are you having stomach problems or other digestive issues? And are you struggling to maintain just overall good health? Or does it seem like as soon as you get over one ailment, another one hits you, and it's just one right after the other? That could be an indication of a suppressed immune system, which can be the result of worry. Now, these aren't all the symptoms of worry, and these aren't exclusive to worrying, but these are some of the basic things that can happen when worry becomes a lifestyle, when it becomes a habit, when it's something we do constantly. A number of these symptoms are also indicators of depression, and I don't think that's coincidental. A pattern of worry will naturally lead us to depression. Now, again, not all depression stems from worry. Some of it is biological. It can be chemical or hormonal imbalance within our bodies. And that kind of chronic depression can be medicated and should be. I'm not at all speaking against that. But I am saying that constant worry can lead us into a depressed state of mind. Worry can rob us of focus. You see, when we're worried, our minds are cluttered. We find it difficult to concentrate on the task at hand. Our minds are consumed with other thoughts, so that even the most common tasks, things we've done for years, things we say, oh, I could do that in my sleep, we have trouble doing, because worry has robbed us of our focus. Worry can rob us of our health. When we worry, our adrenaline kicks in, our heart rate increases, our digestive system kicks into overdrive, and there are many physical ailments that can be traced back to excessive worry. It can lead to sleeplessness, heart disease, ulcers, acid reflux. So many of these things that you see on commercials, and they're trying to tell you to take this medication or take this over-the-counter product, many of them are the result of worry. And then worry can also rob us of our joy. We become so preoccupied with worrying about what might happen, we fail to appreciate what we have and where we are. Chronic worriers tend to become negative. Sometimes they become cynical, even jaded, because they're constantly expecting the worst. So if you hear these symptoms and you say, wow, that sounds like me, this message is for you. The diagnosis of these symptoms is worry. Now, as I mentioned, there's three words we often interchange: worry, fear, and anxiety. So I looked them all up in the dictionary. Fear is a much more broad term. It's defined as an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. Those last words are very important. It's caused by the anticipation or the awareness of danger. Now, danger kicks in that fight or flight response, but it can be triggered by real issues, the awareness of danger, or imaginary issues anticipated. And that's where I'm going to make the distinction. We're going to look at fear in our next study, and that's how you deal with real dangers that are right in front of you. How you deal with things that cause fear, because they're real, they're right there. Worry focuses more on the other, the anticipation of danger. Webster defines worry as mental distress or agitation resulting from concern, usually for something impending or anticipated. What's the key here? It hasn't happened. Worry is always focused on something future. We don't worry about something that's already happened, do we? Rarely do we worry about something that we're experiencing right now. Worry is about what's going to happen if. What if tomorrow this takes place? What if next week that takes place? Worry is the anticipation of danger. And as we're going to see in a few moments, oftentimes they're things that never, ever happen. It's all in our mind. It's never real. The word anxiety is very similar. It's defined as an abnormal or overwhelming sense of apprehension and fear, often marked by physiological signs such as sweating, tension, increased pulse, by doubt concerning the reality and nature of the threat, and by self-doubt about one's capacity to face it. And again, this is where worry kicks in. We are concerned about what might happen and if we can deal with it. And oftentimes, we give ourselves away because we say, I couldn't take it if such and such happened. I don't think I could survive if this happened. That's anxiety. And for our purposes, worry and anxiety are similar. I would say they're interchangeable. Fear, I think, is another issue we're going to look at next week. But they are close. There is certainly some similarities. Interestingly, our word worry comes from an old English word. I believe it's pronounced worgen, and it literally means to choke or to strangle. Isn't that what worry does? It chokes. It strangles. Now, the New Testament word that is translated worry in the Greek means to be divided or distracted. And isn't that true? When we're worried about something, it distracts us from what's happening right now. Oftentimes, worry distracts us from what we really need to be focusing on. And then the Latin word for that same Greek term is the word anxious. Just spell anxious in English and leave off the O and you have the Latin spelling. And interestingly, it also means to choke or to strangle. You see this very clearly in a parable Jesus taught in Mark 4. This is the parable of the sower and the seed. Remember, the farmer went out and he just scattered seed, and it fell on different kinds of soil. One of the soils that it fell upon had thorns that grew up in it. And Jesus said, other seed fell among thorns. The thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Now, later on in that same chapter, when Jesus is explaining the parable to his disciples, and he gets to that kind of soil, notice what he says. And others are ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but notice this, the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word. Worry can choke the word of God in our life. We know it's there. We know what the Bible says. But when we persist in worry, it chokes off God's word and it is no longer valuable to us. Oh, sure, we may have it and we may read it, but we're not putting it into practice because instead we're worrying. Worrying can choke the word of God in our lives. Chuck Swindoll concludes, I have my own definition for anxiety. It is a painful uneasiness of the mind that feeds on impending fears. What might happen? What could take place? In its mildest form, we simply churn. In its most severe form, we panic. And there are so many people today in our culture that have anxiety attacks. They have panic attacks. There's even medication for these things. And it all stems from worry. Anticipation of what might happen and doubts that we can handle it. Now, one of the worst aspects of worry is most often artificial. We usually worry about things that are not real, not relevant, and not our responsibility. I discovered this past week a study that was done by a Walter Kavert. He did a survey and discovered that 8% of things people worry about actually come to pass. 8%. Think about that. 92% of the stuff we worry about never happens or is outside of our realm of control anyway. It's not real. It's not relevant. It's not our responsibility. 92%. You know what I call that? A waste of time. A waste of energy. Why even bother? You say, but I don't know what I'm worrying about is the 8% that'll come to pass. Is it really worth it? Does worrying change even the 8% that's real? Does it help us cope better with what is real? I doubt it. But the very fact that the vast majority of things we worry about don't even come true ought to tell us something. Someone has once said that the average person is crucifying himself between two thieves, the regrets of yesterday and the worries of tomorrow. Boy, how true is that? And what is missing in that picture today? The present, the only thing we can do something about. We can't change the past. We can't live in the future. We can only do something now. But when we're regretting the past and we're worrying about the future, we're not living in the present. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. And that's exactly why Satan wants us to worry. It makes us ineffective. Jesus said it made those seeds unfruitful. It makes our lives unfruitful when we're consumed with worry. Worrying is not only wasted effort, it's a health hazard. In the passage, it was read earlier from Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" What's the answer? No one. You cannot add a single minute to your life by worrying, but do you know you can take away hours, days, months, years by worrying? Yes, you can. Because chronic worrying does affect your health. Charles Mayo, co-founder of the Mayo Clinic, made the observation that worry adversely affects the circulatory system, the heart, the glands, and the entire nervous system. In the medical journal American Mercury, Mayo said he never knew anyone to die of overwork, but he knew many people who died of worry. Oh, we say I'm going to work myself to death. Yeah, probably not. But you can worry yourself to death, and it can shorten your life. Dr. Archibald Hart, I introduced him a couple weeks ago, his book Adrenaline and Stress. He says, there are people whose thoughts are so active and bothersome that they constantly imagine the worst. This worry magnifies actual threats and creates imagined ones, both of which trigger the stress response. And because they're imagined or blown out of proportion, these threats cannot be confronted or easily resolved. The problem is in the mind. Although for the body, the imagined threat is interpreted as real. Furthermore, we don't always recognize our worries as stressors. They hide in the dark recesses of our minds, and they come out to haunt us during the early hours of the morning when we're trying to get back to sleep. Or it plays like a broken record in the background of our unconscious while we do our daily chores. It is these more subtle threats that produce the greatest amount of stress damage. Things that worry, scare, or frighten us, even though they only exist in our thoughts, are stress-producing because there's very little we can do to fight vague, imagined threats. That's why they can be the most destructive of all. We don't know who or what the enemy is. It has an effect on our bodies. But even worse, it is a spiritual stumbling block. We cannot dismiss worry as just an inherited weakness. Oh, my mom was a worrywart. We can't say it's a humorous habit. We cannot make it a justifiable excuse for perfectionism. Well, somebody's got to worry about it being done right. Those are all excuses. What it boils down to is this. Worry is a sin. And nothing short of that. Worry is a sin. Far beyond the need to avoid its physical or psychological effects is a reality that Jesus commands us not to do it. Twice in that passage, he says, do not worry. When you worry and Jesus says, don't do it, what is that? Sin. When God says don't and you do, that's sin. And it's high time that we call it what it is and not pass it off as something else. It's sin. You say, well, why is it sin? That sounds so harsh. Because think about what it really says. Worry says, I can trust that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead. His blood cleanses my sins. I'm going to spend eternity with him in heaven, but I don't think he can handle what I'm going to face tomorrow. That's what worry says. Whether you verbalize it or not, that's what it communicates to God. You're telling God, I don't trust you with my life. That's why it's sin. And not only is it a sin against God, it is a terrible testimony. When unbelievers see you worrying about every little thing, they're going to say, well, what good is God? They say that they trust in God. I don't see it. It's not evident. We're saying one thing and we're living another. And there's a word the world has for that, and it's not a nice one. It's hypocrite. When we live lives of worry, we are being a hypocrite. We are destroying our testimony to anybody else. And we're telling God, I don't trust you. That's why worry is so destructive. Yes, it's very destructive mentally, emotionally, physically, but spiritually, worst of all. Because we're telling God, I don't trust you. Bottom line, that's what worry is. It's not a concern, it's not a burden, it's not a cross we have to bear. Worry is sin. I mentioned a quote in our last message, and I don't think I gave it the attribution it deserved. And I found the whole quote now. It's from Corrie ten Boom. She said, worry is a cycle of inefficient thoughts whirling around a center of fear. Think about that. Inefficient thoughts, because it amounts to nothing. So much of what we worry about doesn't even happen. And the things that do, our worrying doesn't affect. So it's inefficient. And then she adds this, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. And that, folks, is profound. It does nothing for tomorrow, but it sure does something for today, and what it does is not good. Because when we are consumed by worry, we have no strength to address the things of today. What did Jesus say about tomorrow? Don't worry about tomorrow. Why? Because it's got worries of its own. You deal with today. That's what Jesus says. That's how we are to live. Well, now we understand the problem of worry. What's the prescription of it? There is a cure. And the Bible is very specific about it. I'd like to begin with the passage read earlier, Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Those of you that picked up a kid's bulletin, you'll see on the back of it a little poem. And I believe it says the robin to the sparrow, friend, I'd really like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and worry so. Said the robin to the sparrow, friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. That's based on Jesus' words right there. Jesus says, don't worry about those things. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that Solomon in all of his splendor didn't look like one of these. And here's the flowers that are here today and tomorrow. They're tossed in the fire. We don't do that, but how long do flowers really last? You know, you've got some tulips or some jonquils or something that grow up. Boy, they're beautiful. And then just as quickly, they're gone. And if God clothes them like that, how much more will he clothe you? And notice what he says here, oh, you of little faith. He's putting his finger right on the problem and saying, here it is. When you worry, you don't put your faith in God. You're actually putting your faith in yourself that you can handle it better than God can. And that's pretty shaky ground to be on. He concludes this passage by saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Strong words coming from the lips of our own master. Another passage that deals with this is Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. No exceptions here. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, again, no exceptions, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. How do you overcome worry? A four-letter word, P-R-A-Y. Pray. That's what you do. When the feeling comes that tempts you to worry, the way you respond to that is instead of indulging in the worry, you pray. Don't worry about anything, pray about everything. It's that simple. Now, I didn't say that was easy, but I did say it's simple. That's it. What should we worry about? Nothing. What should we pray about? Everything. And what happens? The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. That Greek verb there is a military word. It's putting a sentry before a gate to protect it. That's what the peace of God will do in our hearts and minds. When we pray. Because when we worry, we're trying to cope with it. When we pray, we're putting it in God's hands. And when we put it in God's hands, there's no better hands to be in. It's, do we trust him enough to put our lives in his hands? I realize that's easier said than done, but I want to give you five steps that all come around the word focus. I believe focus is the key to overcoming worry. Because focus is a choice. Focus is choosing to think a certain way. You may feel anxious and fearful. That's an emotion. You can't stop that in and of itself. You cannot keep emotions from rising. But what you can do is choose, instead of feeding the emotion, to think about something else. And that's how you get past worry. It's a choice you have to make every time you feel like worrying. That's the temptation. The feeling is not sin, okay? And we all have those feelings. But that feeling is a temptation to sin. It is an invitation to indulge in worry. And we have to make a choice. And if we can focus on these five things as we close, it will help us overcome the feelings. And the more you deny the feeling and resist the temptation, eventually it will diminish. May not disappear altogether, but it will diminish in your life. So let's take a look at these. First, we must focus on the present and not worry about the future. Those last words of Jesus. Don't worry about tomorrow. You take care of today. Focus on the present. There's always something we can be doing right now instead of worrying about tomorrow. So focus on it. Apply today's resources to today's needs or you're going to lose today's joy. Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes, "The only way to win assurance is by leaving tomorrow entirely in the hands of God and receiving from Him all we need for today. If instead of receiving God's gifts for today, we worry about tomorrow, we find ourselves helpless victims of infinite anxiety." He is absolutely right. The only way to win that assurance is to leave tomorrow entirely in the hands of God. Peter Marshall, who once served as a chaplain of the U.S. Senate, once prayed at the opening of a Senate session, "Lord, help us to do our very best this day to be content with today's troubles so that we will not borrow the troubles of tomorrow. Save us from the sin of worrying, lest stomach ulcers be the badge of our lack of faith." Amen. Save us from the sin of worrying. That's a good prayer to begin every day with if you have a constant battle with worry. Lord, save me from this sin, because it's exactly what it is. Second, we must focus on priorities and not worry about the frivolous. So much of our worrying is about little stuff. I know there's a saying very common, don't sweat the small stuff. And then the next line is, it's all small stuff. So much of what we worry about is really insignificant. Do you remember what you were worried about a week ago today? Probably not. Do you know what you worried about a month ago? A year ago? No. Probably because it didn't even happen. It was probably part of that 92% that never takes place, right? We need to focus on priorities. What's our priority? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these other things will fall into place. So focus on priorities. Don't worry about the frivolous. Third, focus on our purpose and not others' functions. Boy, we're so tempted to compare ourselves to other people. I learned a painful lesson this last week on this. About the last 6 weeks or so, I've been trying to get to the fitness center in Clinton, trying to get myself in better physical shape. And I tend to go there about 7 o'clock in the morning. Then I can get out, go home, get cleaned up, ready for the day. But there was one day this last week where I had an early morning appointment. I could not get there that early. I wasn't going to meet Bob at 3:30 in the morning. So I thought, well, I'll do it later. And I went at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, normally about 7 o'clock in the morning, there's a lot of folks that are my age or older. And, that's all right. I don't have a problem with that. I went there at 5 o'clock that afternoon. Here's all the kids coming from high school and college, 18 to 25 years old. The girls could have bench pressed me. I mean, and I'm looking around thinking, man, what am I doing here? I got my little 50 pounds on the thing. And I was like, man, I felt that high. And then there was just like a voice saying, why are you worried about them? They're not looking at you. They don't care. Why do you? Just do your thing, and they'll do their thing. And then I come back to working on this message. I thought, wow, yep, hit me square in the head. Don't worry about other people. You focus on your purpose. There's at least two occasions in the Gospels where Jesus had to tell his disciples, it's none of your business. You deal with your own business. Don't worry about somebody else. Fourth, we must focus on promises and not worry about our feelings. Boy, this is huge. Feelings is such a big part of our life. And as I said, we cannot stop feelings from happening. Feelings come, feelings go. But then we have a choice. Am I going to indulge the feeling, or am I going to choose to focus on fact? That's a choice we make many times a day. And what are the facts? God's promises. God has promised to meet our needs. God has promised that He will be with us whatever happens. He doesn't promise that everything's going to go great. We're going to have trials. We're going to have difficulties. But God says, I will bring you through them. even temptation to sin. There's a promise in God's word that says he will provide a way out. When we rely on his promises and not focus and worry about our feelings, we're going to be on much more solid ground. The Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs. What are we worried about? Worry says, I don't believe what the Bible says. Worry says, God's not going to take care of me, so I got to figure it out on my own. Worry is a lack of faith. And finally, we must focus on prayer and not worry about figuring it out ourselves. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. It's that simple. And here's a good prayer right out of the scripture to start your day. If you're a chronic worrier, start out with this prayer. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. That was written by a worrier. Know my anxious thoughts. Ask God to reveal them to you. You may not even realize how much you're worrying. And then put your trust in him. Because the less we worry, the less strain we put on our bodies. The less stress damages our bodies, our minds, our souls, our spirits. So we can avoid the stress fracture of worry when we focus on the present, not on the future. Focus on our priorities and not worry about the frivolous. Focus on our purpose and not on others' function. Focus on the promises of God's word and not our feelings. Focus on prayer and not worry about figuring it out ourselves. That's how we overcome the problem of worry. No, let me rephrase that. That's how we overcome the sin of worry. And this might sound a little harsh, but I don't want to hear any Christian say, I can't help it. I don't want to hear any Christian say, you don't know thy situation. I have to worry. Then you're telling me that this Bible is not the truth. God says, do not worry. And when we worry, we sin. And there's a clear way to get beyond the sin of worry. And that's trusting in God.